This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, sitting in for Terry Gross. In June, guerrilla soldiers abducted 19 elementary school children from a city in northern Uganda to train them for combat in the Lord's Resistance Army. These youngsters joined more than 8,000 other children under the age of 16, already fighting in Uganda's civil war. It's estimated that worldwide, 250,000 children under the age of 18 are being used in armed combat. While there's a long tradition of children being used in warfare, in the past decade the number of child soldiers has dramatically increased due to the changing nature of modern wars. My guest, Olara Otunnu, is the United Nations Special Representative on Children and Armed Conflict. The UN recently created the office to work on initiatives to protect children from the traumas of war. I asked him what makes children such desirable soldiers.
Because they're largely innocent. They are not conscious of the impact of what they are doing. And also because they're very impressionable. They're like a vessel. You can indoctrinate them. You can fill them with whatever ideology and passion you want. And they'll do exactly what the warlords want them to do. So that is part of the reason why children tend to be the most fearless fighters, the most ferocious. Sometimes they commit the worst atrocities precisely because they are not fully conscious of what they are doing. And that's the reason why they are such a valuable commodity for the warring factions.
I suppose in many of these countries, war has been going on as long as these children have been alive. And that in that sense, many of them probably have nothing to lose. They've probably lost their families in fighting already.
Well, sometimes, there are many reasons why children end up being used in warfare. Sometimes because the entire social system has broken down. There's no social structure in place, whether it is the family, schools, the extended family, all that has broken down. Sometimes it is because they are looking for economic opportunities. They are not attending schools, and these groups promise them opportunities. Sometimes because they are hungry and they need to be fed, and the fighting groups offer them the opportunity to be given food and to be given other amenities. Sometimes they are simply abducted and kidnapped against their will, against the will of their families, and pressed into war. So there are many reasons. Part of the reasons are political, part of it is economic and social, and part of it is purely military, why young people, children especially, are pressed into hostilities.
Children have been used as soldiers, I suppose, throughout history. Why are we seeing an increase now? What's changing about the nature of war that's brought this about?
Well, you know, even though the experience of war is nothing new, nor the fact of the use of children in wars, we are nevertheless witnessing a qualitative shift in the nature, the conduct of warfare. For one thing, all the major conflicts in the world today are in fact internal conflicts unfolding within national boundaries. For another, we are seeing the widespread targeting of civilian populations as part of the objective of warfare. They are no longer incidental victims. And of course, within that category, those who suffer disproportionately are women and children. And we are also seeing the complete disregard for international standards regarding the conduct of warfare, and worse, a complete collapse of local value systems that through most societies have provided for injunctions and taboos about the conduct of warfare. So there are many elements which have come on the scene which make it now a qualitative shift in the conduct of warfare. And then in terms of weapons, there are miniature weapons, light weight weapons that are easy to assemble and to be borne by children. And this, of course, makes it easier for children to be used. They have become, if you like, the weapon of choice.
How are children used in fighting? Well, one report I read about child soldiers in Uganda described the children as a kind of suicide mission or a kamikaze screen. They were told to run right into the gunfire, and the commanders came up behind them.
Well, I think probably the most commonplace usage of children is simply to fight, to carry guns and to fight. Now, they tend to be put in front because they will not be afraid. And so in that sense, they serve as a kind of buffer, the first line of attack. But they're also used sometimes as on suicide missions. There are special commandos in many theaters of conflict, which are composed almost entirely of children. They are used also to carry out some of the most risky operations, the bombing of certain localities, going into areas which are very dangerous. They're used for this purpose. But they're also used as porters to carry luggage and to carry various things for the adults. And the women are used as porters. They're used as cooks. They're used as sex slaves. After their will has been broken, they are then turned into concubines for the officers who are in the fighting groups.
Where are you seeing a rise in child soldiering?
Well, in terms of the magnitude, worldwide today, in some maybe 30 conflicts, major conflicts around the world, all of which are internal conflicts unfolding within national boundaries, it is estimated that a quarter of a million persons, young persons under the age of 18, are under arms. They're serving as child soldiers. Now, this is a huge leap from anything we have known in the modern era. It represents a really qualitative shift in anything we have known in the modern era. Now, in terms of countries, as I said, it's very widespread, but certainly in Sri Lanka, in Sudan, in Uganda, in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, in Cambodia, in Afghanistan, in Angola. All these are countries where we know that the use of children is very widespread in the ongoing conflicts.
A Tamil guerrilla group in Sri Lanka recently pledged to end child soldiers as a result of the increasing international pressure, in part because of the work that your office has been doing and also other non-governmental bodies. The Tamil rebel groups have an astounding indoctrination program for young kids, ages 10 to 15. I think they call that brigade the Baby Brigade. I'd like you to tell us how they have institutionalized the recruitment of these kids and how they train these children.
Well, in the civil war in Sri Lanka, unfortunately, children have been used for a very long time. And the zone which is controlled by the Tamil Tigers, the insurgent group, they control everything within that zone, and so children are recruited sometimes in schools. There are advertisements and there are posters and there are campaigns to entice children and to make participation in hostilities look very glamorous. And then, of course, once they're recruited, they go through a training program that, again, provides them with a lot of political indoctrination so that they can participate in the hostilities. So this is the issue which I raised with the Tamil Tigers when I met with them in the month of May. And they made a commitment not to recruit any more children below the age of 17 into their ranks and not to deploy into hostilities children below the age of 18.
You recently traveled to Sierra Leone to investigate the impact of the conflict there on children, not only children involved in armed conflict, but also victims of civil war. What did the children there tell you about their experience of war?
I remember meeting a number of children who had been demobilized. They had been child soldiers. And one group told me the only thing that we long for is to get back our education. We want to go back to school. They had realized suddenly that after 2 or so years in fighting, they'd lost out on their education. Another group of children I remember very well could barely describe what they had done in the bush because they'd obviously been involved in fighting. They'd been involved in killing people. And it was something that so traumatized them. It was very difficult to get the story out of them. It was weighing heavily on their minds, on their soul. But I also remember meeting a group of young people who had not so much been child soldiers, but atrocities had been committed against them by the rebel groups. They had had their limbs cut off. And when I asked one of these boys, what did they tell you when they cut off your hand and your foot? And without any emotion, he simply told me, well, they told me, go tell President Kaba that we are still here. And that was the only reason given to him for cutting off his hand and his foot.
My guest is Olara Otunu. He's the United Nations Special Representative on Children and Armed Conflict. We'll talk more after the break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Olara Otunu. He's the Special Representative on Children and Armed Conflict at the United Nations. He heads a new office of the UN, which is in part working to stop the use of children as soldiers in war. You grew up in northern Uganda among a people called the Acholi.
Yes.
What were you taught about battle and ethics in battle?
Well, you see, among the Acholi people of northern Uganda, it's a very strong concept. It's a concept of lapi, which means the cleanliness of one's claim. And before going to war, the elders would assemble. They would examine the claim being made against the other community to be sure that that claim was well-founded, that it was a deep grievance, well-founded. And then if they were convinced that the claim was well-founded, they would declare war, but never lightly. They had to be absolutely sure about the wealth, about the basis of this claim. But even when war was declared, it was so important how you prosecuted the war. You did not touch women, you did not touch children, you didn't touch the elderly, you didn't burn crops and granary stores, because to do any of those things would be to commit a taboo. And when you committed a taboo, you soiled your lapi. And therefore, you lost the blessings of the ancestors. And when you lost the blessings of the ancestors, you risk losing the war. But worse, the elders always anticipated. It was always a presumption, even before war was declared, that after war, there had to be coexistence between the two enemy communities. And so it was so important not to do things that would humiliate, would remove the basis for future coexistence. So it's another reason why one was very careful not to commit certain taboos, because you did not want to remove the basis of future coexistence.
Is this the kind of rich moral framework that these children are now lacking?
This is exactly what has broken down. I mean, to paraphrase Yeats, things have fallen apart. Nowadays, we are witnessing a situation in many societies in which anything goes. You know, women, children, the elderly, the sick, all are fair game in this ferocious struggle to gain or to retain power. And where one is no longer fighting to subdue the enemy army, but one is actually fighting to humiliate the enemy community, to annihilate, not just to subdue that community. So we are witnessing a situation of total war where there are no injunctions, there are no taboos. This is a relatively new development. We are witnessing war not as we have known it in the modern era.
Historically, though, armies using child soldiers just very cynically denied the fact. How can you monitor the pledges that these armies are giving as the world becomes more aware of the problem?
No, that is easy. That is easy. I mean, but first, one has to establish the principle. One has to create a political atmosphere that makes it a taboo to recruit, to abduct, and to use children. That's where we have to begin. And then secondly, mobilize concerted pressure by the key members of the international community to say there's a price to be paid for this kind of conduct. Now, in terms of how does one get the facts, that's not very difficult. Again, because we live in a world which is so interconnected. There are very few corners of the world where you cannot get people to send out information, where humanitarian agencies are present, where journalists may be able to have access. There are various ways by which one can get the facts out. Our difficulty at the moment is not that we don't know. It is that we don't care enough to do something concrete to reverse this trend of abomination.
One proposal the UN and others have is to raise the minimum age of acceptance to an army to 18. This would be part of the International Convention on Children's Rights in War. What stands in the way of this?
Well, there are two things here. As we speak, there's an agreed age limit. It is agreed in the Convention on the Rights of the Child. The agreed age limit for recruiting children is 15. That's the present age limit. And we must not relent in bringing pressure to bear on warring factions today to observe that age limit. Because even as we speak, in many of the theaters of conflict, you see this on your screen, on television and elsewhere, most of the young people who are presently being used in conflict situations, they are 12, they're 13, they're 9, they're 10 years old. So we must not relent on our pressure to apply existing age limit, which is 15. But secondly, I believe that our prospects for protecting more children will be increased if the age limit is raised to 18.
And that's because
because in many of these countries, there are no records kept. There are no registration of births, especially in the rural areas. So one is really guessing the age of a young person. I was in Sri Lanka and Sierra Leone and Liberia and Sudan. And I met a lot of young people who are either presently still being used as child soldiers or who have now been demobilized. And I asked them their age. They don't know. I was only guessing. So the higher the age limit, the more children we are sure of protecting from the exploitation as child soldiers. The lower the age limit, obviously, the more can pass off for being older kids. So there's a very practical, pragmatic reason for this. And then finally, there's also, of course, discussion right now in Rome about the establishment of a new court, the International Criminal Court. And I've advocated very strongly that in the new court, provision should be made to make the recruitment and use of children below the age of 15 a war crime, punishable with the most severe penalty, the most severe punishment. And I hope that that will be accepted.
Olara Otunnu is the United Nations Special Representative on Children and Armed Conflict. I'm Barbara Bogave, and this is Fresh Air.